Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise and thanks for the joy of being in your presence. And for those of us, Lord, who have put our trust in Christ, we can experience that joy every single morning when we wake up knowing that you're with us and knowing that we are ready to meet you face to face whenever our time comes. At the same time, Lord, we're living on this earth, and it isn't always fun. You never promised us it would be easy. And sometimes there are things that confuse us. We don't understand. We don't understand how they all fit into the scheme of even faith. But we still trust. We still have that. We know, Lord, that you are the creator of the universe and the creator of us. And you've created us for yourself, and you want us to be able to enjoy relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing on every person here. And there are certain people, Lord, in our church who are struggling in one way or another, and some really significant needs in our church family. Lord, we care about each other. We love each other. We pray for each other. And we just lift up those needs to you. You know what they are. There are some physical needs. And I pray, God, that you would extend your healing hand and bring healing into the lives of those people in a physical way. Bring glory to your name through their physical body. We also pray, God, for, well, there's needs as far as financial needs and place to stay and a home. There's all kinds of needs, Lord, that are represented, and I'm aware of all of them, or many of them, not all of them, but sometimes I'm overwhelmed in terms of the needs that are represented, and yet we look to you, our eyes are fixed on you, to be the provider of all that we lack and all that we need. And so we pray, God, that you would intrude into our lives and bring about your purposes for us. I think of our nation. Wow, Lord, sometimes we don't even know how to pray. But I praise you for the move of God that's taking place in the lives of many young people today. There's revivals that are taking place on campuses all across this nation, spreading from one campus to another. Many are being baptized. Many are just giving their lives to Christ. They're finding in Jesus that which they've been seeking all their life. And we thank you for that move. And we pray that it would just expand, spill over into just the culture at large, and that we would see a great turning to you in the times that we live in. Bring new life into the church. Lord, it's not the way it ought to be, but sometimes it just seems like church is so churchy, so dead, so lifeless, boring, and powerless. And we're praying, Lord, for a surge of new life in the church, that as people walk through the doors, they would sense that God is here. This is the place where things happen because you're here. And we pray for that to take place, Lord, in churches all across this nation. We pray for our president. You've urged us to pray for those in authority. We pray for President Trump. We pray for his cabinet. We pray for those who are in Congress and the stalemate in Congress. No surprise there. But we pray, God, for your purposes to be accomplished. We believe, Lord, that we're living in times that have been prophesied in many instances here in Scripture. And so we shouldn't be surprised by what's taking place. But we can pray. And we do pray, God, for your hand upon us as a nation. And Lord, globally, I'm thinking about some of the other things, wars that are taking place. And I think as Trump and Netanyahu try to negotiate some kind of a peace deal with Hamas, feels like a dead end to us. But Lord, we pray that your purposes would be accomplished. And I think that the real answer would be for a move of God among Muslims, among Islam. And we know that there have been many dreams, many visions that many of them have had where they encounter Jesus face to face. They turn their lives around. Lord, let there be many more dreams, many more visions. And we just pray for a flood of a move of God among the Islamic community. We commit this service now to you, Lord. Please be glorified in all that takes place. Bless Nate as he comes to share with us. Use what he shares. Let this come as a word, not from him, but from you, through him, to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. morning. It's going to be hard to top what's already taken place this morning. Baptisms are the best, even if I do get a little bit wet. I love the worship, too. Thank you for worship as well. Well, me and my wife didn't always agree on names that we wanted for our son. For a while, I wanted the name Isai or Fuad. These were a couple guys that I knew that were in ministry, and I thought they sounded great names. Now that I'm speaking it out loud, I can understand how that might not have been such a good idea. So she shut those down. For my whole life, I wanted to name my child Tori Corey, and his full name would have been Tori Corey Sartori. I thought that would have been so cool. And she shot that idea down as well.
Good for her.
It's probably for Silas's own good, too. So we did land on Silas, and we agreed on that one. And names are important, all right? All throughout history and even throughout the Bible, we find that names are pretty important. Right now in Children's Church downstairs, they're going through the different names of God. And it's been a pretty cool experience so far. And God has a lot of names. Now, I had a conversation with the kids. I was like, could you imagine that many names? Right? Like, I have a hard, you know, like, keeping up with just, like, hearing my name, Nate, is enough for me. Like, I wouldn't want to, if someone said Alicia, I wouldn't respond to that. If someone called me Pat, I wouldn't want to respond to that. I certainly wouldn't want to respond to the name Leroy. And not to mention, one of the kids mentioned, it was Violet, by the way. She is like, okay, so think of all the names of God, and then all of the languages, the different languages that God has to go by as well, and it's like a lot of names. I was like, okay, yeah, that's a lot of names for God. But God is so great that he has a lot of names to go by. And this morning, I would like to share a story from Genesis chapter 16. And there is a name of God given to us in this story. But first, let's consider the background before we get into Genesis 16. We're going to be reading about Sarai and Abram and Hagar. Now, this is before their names are changed. So Sarai and Abram, this is before their names get changed to Sarah and Abraham. But they are the same people in this story. Now, in Genesis chapter 12 and in 15, we read that Abram is promised many, many descendants. There's going to be a nation that comes out of Abram. And still up to this point here, as we're going to jump into chapter 16, he still has no children several years after the fact, after the promise. Now, in this time and in this culture, and for Abram and Sarai, this is the worst possible scenario for them. To have no children. And they're starting to get a little bit anxious. Starting to doubt a little bit. Because Abram is getting to be an old man. Sarai's getting to be pretty old here at this point. Years down the road, we learn that she gives birth at the age of 90. So, I mean, she's getting to be pretty old here at this point. She's in her 70s probably at this point. And just starting to have a little bit of doubt, a little bit of unbelief, starting to feel a little bit desperate. And then, and we're going to read that they're going to start to kind of take matters into their own hands. And then there's also Hagar. And we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 16, when Abram and Sarai were in Egypt, that's probably when Hagar enters the picture. In fact, most certainly, that's when they acquire her as a slave. So she's most likely a slave from Egypt. And so that kind of gets us caught up here as we jump into Genesis chapter 16. It reads, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her up to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, 'You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me.' 'Your servant is in your hands,' Abram said. 'Do with her whatever you think best.' Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, and so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?' 'I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai,' she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, 'Go back to your mistress and submit to her.' The angel added, 'I will so increase your descendants that they will too be too numerous to count.' And the angel of the Lord also said to her, 'You are now with child, and you shall have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers.' She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees me.' For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me.' That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. And so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael." So right off the bat, here, we understand the background with Abram and Sarai. They've been given a promise, but in their anxiousness and in their unbelief, they act rashly and force Hagar to try to bear them a son. And we learn that they sin against God in doing that. And now, a lot of times we see Abraham as like a giant of the faith, right? He's one of the patriarchs. He's the father of the nation Israel. And I mean, he's a man of faith. We know that. But he wasn't without fault. And Abram and Sarai sin against the Lord in their unbelief as Hagar is given to Abram. Now, how would you feel if you were Hagar? A foreigner, a slave, and forced to sleep with an 80-plus-year-old man. How would you feel about that? And maybe she felt at that point that no one could see her, that she maybe didn't feel like she is worth much at that point. And she is given to Abram not out of love, but out of desperation. How would you feel if you were Hagar? And as we read about Abram and Sarai, we know ultimately they are blessed with a son and many descendants and a nation. But sin always has consequences. And Hagar ended up getting pregnant. And from there, it just starts to snowball. And sin starts to build and tear this family apart. When Hagar then starts to despise her mistress, Sarai, and kind of with an attitude of superiority at this point, like, hey, I was your son, and you haven't. And then Sarai responds by mistreating Hagar, and she's harsh. And then we learn from the pregnancy that a whole different nation will be born through Hagar, and these are the Arabs. Now, it's interesting to note here, by the way, that God didn't prevent this. So, he may have a plan for the Arabs yet, for Israel's rivals. Also, Ishmael was the first ever to be given a name while still in the womb. I think that's kind of interesting. And Ishmael also, by the way, means that God will hear. And so just a side note to keep in mind as we think of Israel's rivals, I believe we can pray for them. And then sin has a consequence ultimately where Hagar just ends up running away. But then she has this incredible encounter with God. Now, interesting to note here, Hagar again is a mother-to-be, foreigner, slave, runaway. And of all people, she is the first encounter we read about with God himself. Isn't that interesting? And she even gives God a name. How many people can say they have given God a name? Depending on who you talk to, Hagar might be the only person to have ever given God a name. Some people would argue that Abraham or Jacob did as well. There's some debate about that. But still, isn't that something? A female slave, mother-to-be, foreigner, gave God a name. Isn't that extraordinary? And the name she gives God, oh, is so profound. It's so deep. It's so personal. The name she gives to God, El Roy, the God who sees. Now, it's also to note that Hagar was also a sinner. She was not perfect. We read that she despised her mistress and ran away. But she had an encounter with God. And after her encounter, she changed. She submits not only to the angel of the Lord, but she goes back to Sarai, and submits to her as well. We see repentance in that in and of itself. And later in Genesis 21, we read that God takes care of her. She is changed after her encounter with God. And so, just a few points of application. And then we'll close this morning. First, sin always has consequences. Even if you are the father of Israel, Even if you are Abraham, a patriarch, a man of faith, sin always has consequences. Is there sin in your life that you need to address this morning? And ask yourself, what kinds of consequences might there be if I continue in my sin? Secondly, we read that God is faithful. We can believe that he will follow through. We can trust in his timing. We can be patient and hope. Now, this is where Abram and Sarai got tripped up. They waited for a long time for God's promise to come through. And God did come through, but it was in his timing. Are you in a situation right now where you're getting a little bit restless, getting a little bit anxious? Maybe you're in a situation or a hard circumstance where you're just anxious to be done and over with. Maybe you have a goal in your life or a dream that you're aspiring towards, and you just can't wait to get there, and you're starting to maybe get a little bit desperate, a little bit anxious. I want to encourage you that God is faithful. We can trust in God's timing for our lives. We can be patient in expectant hope. God is faithful. Next, I want us to find encouragement this morning in the name El Roy. God is a God who sees. It's one of the names of God. And when God reveals a name to us, he's revealing something to us there in that, and we can believe it to be true. And so when God has a name, El Roy, we can believe that to be true. Be encouraged with that this morning, that God sees you today. He sees the single mother trying to make ends meet. He sees the homeless addict on the streets. He sees the impoverished in the slum of Nairobi, Kenya. He sees the college student trying to balance 100 things at once, just trying to make it through. He sees the helpless victims in Haiti who are oppressed by the gangs right now. I work with special needs students. Some of them are nonverbal, and they're not able to verbalize their needs or their wants. And sometimes I imagine how frustrating that can be to them. But God sees them. God hears them. And oftentimes I will tell them, God understands you. God knows what it is that you're wanting or that you're needing right now. I may not be always able to understand, but God is a God who sees. And sometimes I tell them that, and I pray that for them. El Roy, my God sees the special needs students who cannot verbalize their needs. God sees the widow. God sees the orphan. There are 7 billion people on the planet, and God sees everyone. And God sees you. We can find encouragement in that this morning. The last thing I want to ask this morning as we think about application is, now, who is it that you need to see? Is there someone in your life that needs to be seen? How can you be an extension of God's grace to someone who needs it? How can you make the name Elroy come alive for someone else? Who can you choose to see in your life? Could be a number of people. It could be, if you go to, maybe it could be the person who sits by themselves at the lunch table at the high school. It could be the homeless man just right down the road who just needs someone to see them and maybe give them a friendly smile or a friendly wave. There's someone, though, that needs to be seen. And so I want to challenge us to open our eyes and be an extension of the name Elroy to the people who aren't seen. Hagar was a foreign slave and a mother-to-be, a single mother-to-be, who was left hung out to dry. But she encountered God and even gave him a name. And God saw her. She repented, and God took care of her. Maybe you feel troubled this morning. Maybe you don't feel seen this morning, or you don't feel heard, or maybe you feel misunderstood this morning. Maybe you feel like you've fallen through the cracks. Maybe you feel overwhelmed by life, and nobody even knows what it is you're going through, and you feel alone. Maybe you even just feel like, I don't fit in. Maybe like Hagar, you don't feel like you're seen. Or you're in a desperate situation, or you've been taken advantage of by someone else. Maybe you don't feel like you're good enough this morning. I want to encourage you this morning that God is a God who sees you right where you're at. He knows you. He hears you. He sees you. He hands. If you would like to know this God personally, I'd like to extend that invitation to you. As we close with a song here in a few minutes, or even after the service, feel free to come and talk to one of us. And we would love to pray with you and explain to you what that looks like. That you can absolutely have that dynamic relationship with Jesus and be seen. Maybe you're even in a spot right now like what Hagar was in, where she had despised her mistress and she had run away and she is feeling desperate, and maybe you've made mistakes, but you want God this morning. I want to suggest it's not too late. You can get right with God today. And like Hagar, if you allow God in and have that encounter with God, your life can be changed. Hagar's life was changed after her encounter with God. She got right with God, and she began to obey God and submit to God, and she went back to Sarai to submit. Can you imagine, by the way, how hard that must have been? Going back to the person who treated you harshly? Going back after you had just ran away? That must have been a little bit awkward for her or uncomfortable with her, but she obeyed, and she submitted, and God took care of her. Sometimes repentance isn't easy. Obedience can be difficult. But like with Hagar, if we follow through with that, God takes care of us, which we read later in Genesis chapter 21, by the way. He takes care of Hagar and her son. If you want to get right with God, and if you're at a point where you're like, man, I've made a lot of mistakes. Yeah, I mean, I am a sinner. I just want to encourage you, it's not too late to get back right with God. You can start obeying God today. And that can be day one and the start of the rest of your life. Again, if you would like someone to talk to, we would love to have a conversation with you about that and what that can look like for you. Whatever your need, we just want to invite you to come this morning. And we would love to pray with you and listen to you and have a conversation with you. But I want to encourage us this morning that God is a God who sees. If he can see Hagar, just an Egyptian slave, a mother-to-be, a runaway, if he can see her right where she was at when she was all alone at the spring, I want to submit that God sees you as well. Elroy, God is a God who sees. And again, how can we be an extension of that name to somebody else? I want to encourage us to do that. If you already have that relationship with God and you are solid in your faith and you know without a shadow of a doubt that God sees you, I want to encourage you to look for someone else around you. And somebody who's probably not seen or doesn't feel like they're seen, and be that extension of the name Elroy to them. Let's pray. God, I am blown away by the name Elroy. It amazes me, God, that you or a God who sees. Of all the people in the world, I'm amazed that you see me. Just a 37-year-old guy from Shelton, Washington, just trying to make ends meet, working at the school, and God, somehow you see me. And that's amazing to me, God. That to me just inspires worship of a God so great and incredible that he sees. But not only me, he sees all of us. The name Elroy, what a powerful name that is. God, I thank you that you see us. You see us in our troubles. You see us in our hardships, God. You see us in the various difficulties that we face and the ways that we're overwhelmed. And other people might not understand what it is we're going through, God, but you do because you see. And God, we want to give you praise and worship this morning. And I pray, God, that that would become more of a reality for us. That we would just live knowing that we are seen by the incredible, all-powerful, amazing God of the universe, Lord. And that is so special and incredible. God, we want to tell you that we love you. Thank you for seeing us. Lord, help us as we get a hold of that truth to be able to obey and follow through in submission. And that you'll take care of us. Help us, God, to see around us and be an extension of that grace to others, Lord, that need to be seen, that need to know that reality of Elroy in their lives. Help us to see others as you see. God, thank you again. We want to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to close with a song. It's called The God Who Sings. It's a very soft, quiet, slow song, but we can just soak in the truth that God is a God who sees. And again, if you need prayer this morning, feel free to come on up, and we'd love to pray with you. So let's close with The God Who Sees.
unnoticed. You love me when I'm unlovable. You hold me when I'm discarded. You're by my side when I'm feeling left behind. No matter how far, your hope is reaching to my heart. You call me your child, the light in your eyes. Since the beginning of all time, you're the God who sees, the God who sees.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what Nate shared with us today. Sometimes with all the busyness and the rush and all the things that vie for our attention and our time, we forget to take the time just to let you love us and remind ourselves that you see us wherever we are. And I pray as we leave this building, Lord, that we will leave with a strong sense that your presence goes with us, that you're watching over us, Lord, throughout this entire week. We commit ourselves to you and we give you praise for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.